I do R&D with the EN Foundation on privacy and new knowledge applications. And today I'm just going to present something that I've been working on in the past 2 weeks in collaboration with the proof of attendance team. That's Patricia right there. Thank you so much, Patricia, for distributing the
My pleasure, tokens. But it's not fair to say it's me. We are like seven, so please raise your hand before.
Woo! Yeah, so today is all about how we use these proof of attendance tokens to enable anonymous voting using zero knowledge. And I'm going to go into the demo, I'm going to go into the code, I'm going to explain how the system works, and talk about how this relates to mixers and other applications of the of ZK technology on Ethereum. So let's just think about like a use case. So let's say in Ethereum there's always drama, there's always like some controversial issue, and there's always like questions about whether we want to include this EIP into this hard fork or whether we want to come to some kind of community consensus on some issue. And some people say, okay, we can try to use an election or voting to get some kind of like resolution. But that's fine and dandy. But there are two problems with this. You can vote as long as you have an address, which is not so good because you can create an address for free. And if you vote, you can find out other people's, or anybody can see who voted for what. And there's a lack of privacy. So for this kind of use case, we solve for privacy using Semaphore, which is a zero-knowledge signaling gadget, which I'll explain a bit later. And we solve identity by using the POM token, because, for example, at DEF CON, at F Global Events, and Hackathons, Patricio's team will hand out all these tokens, and each person only gets one. You can link the token to your address, and now you own that an NFT, the ERC-721 token, which proves that you were at that event. And you could combine these tokens and say that I was at F New York, I was at F Singapore, I was at DEF CON 5, something like that. So we are combining these two components to do a very simple voting app. I want to explain how you can use your knowledge through this app to do voting. So let's do a demo. If anybody is on the laptop and you already have your NFT POP token, I would encourage you to go to one of those app. It's on mainnet. So log in with your MetaMask wallet that owns the on the address that owns the token, and you can click on register, and you have to type in your POP token ID, which you can find on Etherscan. So for example, if I go to my MetaMask, I go to Etherscan, I look at my ERC-721 tokens. You see that 3 days ago I claimed my POP token. So this is my token ID is 4295, which is for my which is for DEF CON 5. I would type this token ID into this box and I'll register. So that's just one transaction. Should cost less than 5 cents. And then once you do that, you can go to vote. And you'll be able to see the list of like questions that I've already seeded it with. And you can, and now you can like look at the answers. So you can see like the proportion of people voted yes or no. And now I'm just gonna do a quick demo of like adding a question and answering a question. Any suggestions for highly controversial topics? That have nothing to do with personal, like, no individuals, but so no personal attacks, but any controversial issues that are going on right now.
It could be fun if we could ask a question regarding holding the DEF CON 4 token also, and ask which DEF CON was better, that would be too complicated.
Should DEF CON 6 be held in Argentina or Buenos Aires?
I'd say obviously yes.
Let's do it.
Should
six. How do you spell Buenos Aires?
UNAS.
I don't know.
You're missing
the like the Argentinians in the crowd.
Yeah,
NAS.
OS.
OS?
Yeah.
Okay, so AIR.
AIR.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
It's got to be 100% for sure. That's
for sure. So what we're doing here is we are registration happens on chain, but for the sake of a demo, I'm doing a demo off chain. However, just take note that everything I'm doing off chain can also be done on chain. So you need to pay, do one transaction to register testing. Everything else can be done off chain. So right now, I'm just
using the registration bit off-chain as well?
Registration on-chain.
But could you do it off-chain as well? Like prove in zero knowledge that you own the probe token without ever posting anything to the chain?
Not the way that the probe token is implemented at this point, because it's a ERC-721. So if you register, you have to say that this address holds this token. What we are proving is that later on.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, sorry if I'm getting mad.
Yeah. Yeah, but registration is the voting that's done on the
okay.
Yeah. So we're just going to sign the hash of the question, and it's going to be submitted to my off-chain database. And now I'm going to do the on-chain. I mean, I'm going to vote on the question, and this is where the magic happens. I'm going to prove that I am in the set of registered identities. And also at the same time send a signal which is the answer yes to the backend. The backend is going to verify that I am, that the proof is valid, but when they do that, they don't know which identity I am. Unless I'm the only one, then it's obvious, but if there were like 10 people who register and I make a proof, it only shows that I'm one of these 10 people. Right. So this is like, we're using zk-snarks. And zk-snarks basically are a way for you to verify computation without running the computation itself. And so there's like two main steps. The first step is to generate proof. And this is something pretty cumbersome. It takes like half a minute to do. But the proof verification can be done in a very, very short time. And it can also be done on chain. For the sake of this demo, the backend is doing the verification off chain in my server running somewhere. And you can generate proofs in the browser. And so what happens is that we generate proof in the browser, send to an API, send to the backend verifies the proof, updates the database if the proof is valid. We also have a mechanism where you cannot vote twice. And this mimics the on-chain behavior of the smart contract that prevents you from voting twice. So this is going to take another half a minute. So. And I can jump into like the mechanisms that zk-snarks, how zk-snarks work, but...
So I haven't got my... let's say I have the set of the perk token holders, and then I mint a new perk token because I came late to DevCon. Does it have to update your registry or have?
You just have to register.
No, so will your circuits be able to just pull from the 721 contract, or do you
right.
have to update your hash?
The list of registered identities is whoever registered through this app. So so if you claim your token, you can still have to register
right.
to use this app. All right, so the answer is yes, and I'll encourage anybody with a laptop to try this out. Unfortunately, it's not super mobile friendly, so I don't think that it will work on mobile yet.
What's the URL? Sorry.
Oneofus.app. At this point, any questions before I jump into details? Yes.
So when you vote, you don't actually like make a transaction on chain directly, but throw it on API so that your identity is not leaked. Is that correct?
Okay. So in this case, we send the vote to through off chain to the backend. But it's, the reason for that is because it's a demo and just want to demonstrate how it works. In a production application, you would send a vote like through Tor or something to an API of a relayer, that would relay the proof to the contract and receive a reward from the transaction. That was something that I will cover a bit later. Yeah, but in this case, we're sending through an API, not because we are not because we're on privacy, but because first of all, it's a demo, and second of all, even in production, we will send a proof off chain, and then the relay will send a proof onto the chain onto smart contract to register the code.
But if we like make the transaction directly, then people will be able to easily assume that we are the one.
Right. So the only transaction that can be linked to your address is the registration transaction, or the transaction that adds a new question to the system. But when you answer a question, we generate the proof and send the proof to a third-party relayer that does the transaction and pays a gas for you. Yeah. And that relayer is rewarded by... So this is like on a tangent, but I'm just going to anyway. In the on-chain version, one idea that we had is to is that when you ask a question, you would have to send some ETH along the question, and the ETH would be stored in the contract. And when you answer the question, the contract pays back a small reward to the relayer that sent the transaction. And that's why that's how the relayer is incentivized to relay the transaction in the first place. So that's how you get away with not paying gas for voting. Yeah. Because the people who ask the question could subsidize the gas for that for the rest of the business. But for this demo, it's entirely off-chain, so I don't know that, so there's no complexity on that. Okay, so now I just jump into like the technical explanation of how this stuff works. Okay, so right. So just to summarize, what you saw was entirely off-chain. Registration happens on-chain, but there's only one that goes on-chain. There's a backend server that checks whether the user has a POK token. It does the ZK Snark proof verification off-chain, and votes are stored in escrow database. And there's also a they also check the hash of the answer and the identity to prevent double signaling. So I can explain what an external nullifier is later, but this is what prevents the same user from signaling twice to a question, or voting twice on a question. And this mechanism that happens off-chain is what I'm doing to mimic what the contract would do on-chain. So on-chain, as I mentioned just now, there's the relayer reward mechanism, and the smart contract verifies the ZKSNARK proof and only broadcasts a signal on the vote if the proof is valid. So what is going on here? So we have two layers. The first layer is basically the voting layer. It's a smart contract that takes in the questions and answers and registration. But that's an interface on top of what we call Semaphore. And Semaphore is like a base layer for ZK Snark or zero knowledge applications like this. So Semaphore is what we also use for Mixer. But Semaphore is super generalized. What it does basically is two things. First thing is that it allows you to register your identity. Second thing, allows anybody in this pool of identities to signal an arbitrary string. So by signal, it means like broadcast any string to the Ethereum blockchain. But when they do that, they have to prove that they are one of the registered identities that had registered themselves earlier. So from an attacker's point of view, all they know is that there's a list of registered identities, and there's a list of signals, but we don't know which signal is linked to which identity. So, in the same way, an attacker knows there's a list of attendees who have registered onto this app. They know there's a bunch of votes, but they don't know which identity is linked to which vote. Unless everybody votes yes to having DEFCON 6 at Buenos Aires, or unless there is like only one person voting, then it's kind of obvious. So this mechanism depends on for it to succeed, it depends to have depends on having a large enough pool of registered identities who vote. Otherwise, you can use heuristics to find out who voted for what. And Semaphore is basically, to reiterate, is a base layer for these search applications. Other applications are like a mixer, anonymous login, even probabilistic micropayments. So there are a few ideas that, so this comes from Barry Whitehead and Kobe Gurkhan from EF, and they've been, like, I think in other talks they've been talking about Semaphore, and this is just one application of this. Yeah. Okay, so before I go even deeper into ZK-SNARK, the Semaphore ZK-SNARK circuit, are there any questions about this?
Yes. So if you want to use this scene to do like national election, you first have to register everyone on the chain, right? Which would be kind of expensive, right? Is that?
Oh, wow. I can't claim that this would be useful for a national election. Because there's first of all, the logistics are way too hard. The security is, the stakes are way too high. And if this gets hacked, then the country's election gets hacked, and it's not so fun. but what we're doing here is like analogous to, like, so it's, for example, in Singapore, where I'm from, there's this, like, so Singapore's independence was like 1965, and even then, when there were elections, people were told that their vote was secret. And up to today, every 5 years of the election, the government says your vote is secret because they want to instill a certain amount of trust that their vote will not be checked. And it's like super to believe that, because if they don't believe that, they're not going to vote in the way that they want to, out of fear or out of some kind of like sense of being watched. And I think if we don't have that in Ethereum, then when we vote in the DAO, we are not necessarily voting for the best interest of the DAO. We might be voting for some kind of other incentive, which we don't really want to run, align incentives through privacy. So this is just one option that might be able to help that, but I don't really think it might work by election. But in Singapore, they burn the votes every time there's an election. I mean, they burn the votes a few months after the election. So you don't know who voted for what. As long as they are telling the truth, then your vote is secret. Yeah. Yes?
Yeah, I like how you, instead of you managing the registry, you let the user register themselves. That can only be done with an identity token, which is kind of cool. It would be interesting to let the users add other identities, because if you, like, to increase your set, so I might register three or four other token holders and then I register myself to expand the anonymity set.
Right. Yeah, identity is a very tough question. That could be done separate of the ZK-SNARK component that we have.
But if it was to solve your six people voting for Buenos Aires problem, so I could have registered, like, you know, there's 6,000 tokens, I could have registered like a couple other ones before I registered my own token ID, and then I voted.
I mean, we are assuming that each person only has one poll token. Yeah. Unless you steal someone else's token. Nothing can do about that.
No, I think he meant that he...
The registry.
There are six, and he all controls... There are six actors, he controls them all.
Yeah. That's an assumption that... We assume that there's no collusion. Okay, so this is literally the last slide, because I expect everything to diving into the ZK-SNARK might be a bit complex, so I'm just going to do this very slowly and step by step. So in this audience, how familiar are you with ZK-SNARKs? Have you at least heard about it? Alright, has anybody wrote a ZK-SNARK circuit? Okay, has anybody... Okay, so let's just jump into the code, shall we? Yeah. who doesn't know how ZKSNAP proof works? So who doesn't know like the ABCs of ZKSNAP? Should I go into the whiteboard and like talk about proving keys, verification keys, and things like that?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's just I'll just do like the 101. I think I did this at Bucky's workshop last month. Okay. How do we? Okay. So just to recap, ZKSNAPs are basically the ability to verify computation. Right. So ZKSNAPs are basically the ability to verify a computation in a short amount of time, regardless of how large a computation is, without revealing certain inputs to the computation. So for example, let's say you want to say that you have a function that that I have some text. And let's say this is a hash function, right? So let's say that you have this hash function, the hash of w is some gibberish. So the first step you do is that you encode this function into what you call circuit. And now we have a circuit and the two inputs. The first input is w and the second is h. The code of F is encoded in like a domain-specific language that's used to program the circuit. But there's an input W and an input H. So we want to be able to prove that we know W. We want to prove that we know that the plaintext of a hash without revealing what the plaintext is. So this plaintext is a secret input and this is a public input. So even though I say that this is a function and this is a circuit, it's important to know that we don't think about circuits like black boxes. We don't think about them as input and output. We sort of think that we think in terms of whether this equality holds. We want this, we're basically encoding a bunch of assert statements and require statements inside a circuit so that this circuit or this proof would be valid if and only if all the constraints hold. So we're not like, it's not like a function in the traditional sense. So we take a circuit and we call it circuit C. And for ZKSNAP, what you do is something called a trusted setup. So with a trusted setup, you take in the circuit, and then you run this process where you get two keys, and you get some toxic waste. So you run this process called a trusted setup, you get a verification key, a proving key, and it also produces some toxic waste which you must discard. Otherwise you can generate fake proofs. And I can talk more about how to do this, how to discard this in a way that's less untrustworthy. So when you want to generate a ZKSNAP proof, you need a proving key. So with the proving key, so you generate proof. You need a circuit, you need the proving key, and you need the witness. The witness is a secret input. Do we need a public input? Don't think so, right?
Okay, we'll be back.
Well, when generally approved to be in the public, but I don't think we only verify it. We verify it, right? Yeah, let's just go with it. I'm just all
inside the window.
What?
Public inputs are inside the windows. Public inputs are inside the windows.
Ah, thank you. Yeah. So it's so many details. I just have to go off memory. So we generate the proof this way, and then. Then we get the proof, and when we want to verify the proof, we use the verification key and the public inputs H. So if this is true, it means that I know the witness, I know the plain text of the hash H, given the verification key and the proof. If it's false, then I don't know it. So that's ZKSnarks 101. The big problem with ZKSnarks is that you have this trusted setup where you need to generate the proving key and verification key, but you also need to discard the toxic waste. And this is something that is really troublesome to do, because the best way to do this is through a multi-party computation, where you have a bunch of people to do the trusted setup in step-by-step phases, and you only need one person to be honest out of all these people who do this trusted setup. It's called the powers of tau ceremony, and for Semaphore we are doing this thing called the perpetual powers of tau, where we are coordinating with more than 20 people so far to take part in the ceremony, to generate, to do the multi-party computation for our trusted setup. So as long as only one of these people is honest, the whole thing can be trusted. And Zcash did this, I think 2 years ago, with their sampling powers and tower upgrade trusted setup. So this stuff is not new, but can be a bit like mind-bending. So please be patient while you're trying to navigate all this complex stuff. So we're going to take this and apply this to Semaphore, right? So just now we mentioned how the circuit, this is a super simple circuit, that the function that hashes a piece of text that returns a hash. So the Semaphore is basically the circuit checks whether the hash matches the hash input, the public input matches the hash of the witness or the secret. But Semaphore is doing something a bit more complex. What we're doing with Semaphore is proving three things. The first thing is that we are proving that we have a valid Merkle proof to the Merkle root stored in the smart contract, given the identity commitment that we want to prove knowledge of. So, what is an identity commitment? So earlier when we registered our identity into the app, what we did was not just submit a transaction, but along the transaction, there's the hash of an EDDSA public key and two random strings. So this is all these identity commitments are stored in the Merkle tree as the leaves of the Merkle tree, and the root of the Merkle tree is stored in the contract. It's stored in the Semaphore contract. When we generate the Merkle proof, we download all the leaves, we generate the Merkle path, and that's the Merkle proof. And when we generate a proof, one of the private inputs goes into a circuit, and the circuit verifies the Merkle proof, and only if the Merkle proof is valid, along with the two other conditions, it will be a valid proof. So that's the first thing we do to prove that the user is indeed, no, so that's the first condition that needs to hold for this circuit to be valid. Any questions so far? Yeah.
So if you don't know the answer, that's fine. I see a bunch of people wearing ZCon shirts, so maybe someone else will know the answer in the crowd. In terms of complexity, how much more complex is this than what Zcash does when they're signing transactions?
This is like way simpler than Zcash.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Zcash is a super complex, like, because this is just like one node or a single denomination. What I mean is that for a mixer, each leaf only represents a fixed amount. In this case, it's just, so I'm not super familiar with Zcash, but this is way simpler.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me just log in. Any other questions before I continue?
Why don't you say a little bit about the size of the circuit and how that impacts
right.
Both the computation size as well as how reliable the answer of true or false actually is?
So before the Istanbul hard fork, if we use a circuit which supports a Merkle tree of 20 levels, so that's 2 to the power of 20, leaves that can be stored inside the contract, which is basically 2 to the power 20 registrations, that takes like 30 seconds to generate a proof on the laptop, and that takes like 800k gas to verify. Yeah, I think it takes 1.1 million gas to deposit too. But for this use case, we lower the number of leaves, lower the number of levels in the tree to 12, so 2 to the power of 12 is like 4,096. And that's roughly the attendance of that car. What is the second part of the question about?
No, it's like the size of the circuit, right? Is driving the power of the polynomial that you need over the field, right? Over the curve. So if you're choosing, if your power is not high enough, right? Then the verification is necessary, even if it says true is actually false, because this is only true up to an epsilon, and the epsilon is a function of the power of the polynomial.
Right. I think I should defer the question to someone who knows the math at a lower level.
Yeah. Okay. But that drives computational complexity, right? For the to generate the witness.
Right, I'm not super sure about.
So, like, Zcash is like, they started at like 2 billion, something like that. I think they had
polynomials
with the power of 2 billion.
Right. I will have to check with people who know the details much better than I do. Yeah. Alright, so that was just the first part of the proof. Now we want to prove two other things. The second thing we want to prove is that the signal was only broadcasted once. Which means that we want to prove that there were no double, that we want to ensure that you cannot vote twice. So, there is something called a nullifier hash, which is a hash of the identity nullifier, which is one of the random value cells hashed along with the public key and when you register into the smart contract. You also want to hash it along with the external nullifier, which is a hash of the question asked by the user. And finally, the path. So the contract stores all the nullifier hashes, and the circuit also ensures that the hash is valid, just like how you hash it in this simple circuit. And finally, we also do EBDSA signature verification to ensure that the public key that was that the owner of the registrant has is valid. And this is an EBDSA public key, not an ECDSA public key. So The reason for that is that EDDSA public keys are much more friendly and much more friendly for ZK-SNACKs and not so much so for ECDSA keys. Which means that ZK-SNACK applications on Ethereum have some challenges in terms of UI UX because these keys have to be stored somewhere other than the user's wallet, such as in local storage. But just yesterday, there was a big announcement by MetaMask where they have a plugin system that lets you have something called app keys. So that's something that we are going to explore and figure out if that's possible to use instead of storing your keys in local storage. So just to recap, this semaphore circuit proves three things: that the user's identity is part of the set of registered identities, that the signal was only broadcasted once, and that the user truly owns the key that was used to that truly owns the key because they had to sign the message and the circuit verifies the signature. So and also to recap, the signal that we are broadcasting is a hashed answer. We are broadcasting a signal to a question, which is hashed to become a accident nullifier. The semaphore contract supports multiple accident nullifiers, and that's how we support multiple questions. Yeah. So before we jump into more code, can we, any questions? Yeah, okay. Yeah, tell you what, I will jump into the flow of how this whole thing works from start to finish, from the UI all the way to the ZK-SNACK circuit. Just look at the code. Sound good? So let's start from the front end and look at what we do when we register. So because that was the first thing that we did. Basically, this is like a React web app. When we register, we generate an identity commitment. And this function basically hashes together those three things. Right, so we are using a Peterson commitment to hash the public key of the user and two random values. And this UI is using something called libsemaphore, which is the like a NPM library that abstracts over a lot of the cryptographic operations that we need to use semaphore. So it sends it to the contract, there's a transaction. When it's done, we just tell the user. And then when you submit a question, this is where it's okay. So we hash a question, let the user sign it using the person assigned function, and we submit that to the backend database. I think what's more interesting if I show you what happens if it's done on chain. If it's done on chain, registration is the same because we already do that on-chain. For on-chain registration, basically you just pass along the identity commitment to the semaphore contract. when you submit a question, what we are doing is we are adding an external nullifier to the semaphore contract. And we also, for this version of the voting app, we require the user to send some ETH along with the transaction, and this is what pays the BLAS later on. So this fee could be any amount, but it should be enough to cover at least a few votes. And then when you answer a question, we hash the answer, and we first of all check whether the question that is answered to exists, and then we submit this to the semaphore contract that along the ZK snap proof, whose parameters are A, B, and C. Don't ask me why it's called A, B, and C. But also these are the public inputs to the ZK stack.
Which hash function did you choose?
Hash function for answering a question?
The answer hash.
Yeah, hang on. We use Kitchak 256.
Awesome.
Yeah. But as long as it returns like 32 bytes.
Yeah. Awesome.
Right, so now let's go one layer deeper, like an inception, one layer deeper. We're going into the semaphore contract. So all this is open source, by the way. So if you have like some kind of application that wants to use like zero knowledge, but you don't want to play around with building a whole new circuit, this might be what you need. It also helps that what we are also doing like a trusted setup and an audit for the semaphore code. So when those are done, you won't have to run your own trusted setup audit for this component yourself. Alright, so insert identity, this is the function in semaphore that adds the identity to the worker tree on chain. And broadcasting a signal is where we first, we basically check whether the signal and the ZK snap proof is valid, and then we just add it to the mapping of signals in the smart contract. And this function to check whether the snap proof is valid is here. So my proof is inside this smart contract called verify.so. This smart contract is auto-generated by a library called Circom. And Circom is the JavaScript-based library by IDEN3 that lets you write ZK-snark circuits. And when you write a circuit, you can, when you compile a circuit, you can also auto-generate this Solidity contract that allows you to verify proofs. So now let's go one more layer deeper into the semaphore ZK-snark circuit. So, in this case, we are looking at right. So, circuits are made of components, and there's a main component. In this case, a main component is semaphore. This is where we define the signals. So, these are public inputs, and these are private inputs. So the private inputs include the identity, the public key, and the components that compose the identity complement, as well as the signature that was generated and the worker path. As for the public inputs, those were the hash of the signal and the external nullifier. So this is where it gets really detailed, and there are a lot of projects using Circum, such as ZK-Rollup, that like also do a lot of like merkle tree verification. I mean signature verification and merkle tree merkle proofs. But also, but just in a different way because they're using it for like batch verification transactions. So this, so let's look at a simple example. So let's say you want to verify that the identity commitment is valid, which is you want to check whether the hash of the three-part components, the public key, identity trapdoor, and identity nullifier, matches the given identity commitment. So circuits have inputs and outputs. No, circuits have inputs, and as long as the inputs are valid, then the circuit is valid. Right. So we have a component called a Pedersen component, like that does a Pedersen commitment, which is like a hash function that's friendly for snarks. And what we do is that we take the public key, the bits of the public key, we loop through them and assign them into the Pedersen hash component. And we do the same with the identity nullifier and identity trapdoor. So the thing about this DSL is that you need to do a lot of like bit level operations, which is super tedious. And so credits all go to Kobe Gurkhan who wrote on this. Someone way smarter than I am. And we do the same for other components that do other things about the with the ZK snap. And at the end of the day, if all these constraints check out, then the whole circuit is valid. And the and moving up the stack, you'll see that this you'll see this smart contract to verify the proof return true. It will go up back to the semaphore contract that will pass this function will execute successfully. And that's how you do voting with a semaphore. So yeah, I know I covered a lot of like detail in this, and there's so much more to go. So I would encourage everybody to join the Semaphore Society Telegram. So this is where a lot of the research and development into ZKSnarks is happening. And this is also where the Mixer was born, the Mixer that uses Semaphore was born. And it's just, yeah, the internet's not working for me right now, but hang on. Low on data. That's not fun. Yeah, so if you go to Obi Gurkhan's GitHub, you can see the link to the Telegram group. And I encourage anybody to approach me for if you have any questions about how to use Semaphore and if you want to contribute and if you want to apply it for your own applications. I am writing like something called libSemaphore, which is a NPM library that lets you use it more easily. And I'm going to write blog posts and documentation to help developers to integrate this better into their dApps. Yes?
So you said it's pretty cool that you built this in 2 weeks, and I just was, my curiosity is like, what were some of the hardest, what were the challenges in trying to build, you know, something like this
right.
in 2 weeks?
It's done in 2 weeks because I copy-pasted my own code from the Mixer.
Yeah.
Like, if you go to the Mixer, this is like, deploy on COVID testnet. You see that the UI I built is like almost the same.
Great.
Yeah. So this is like another application of Semaphore, which is the Mixer. I gave a talk about this 2 days ago. You can basically like when you deposit F into the Mixer, what you're doing is registering your identity, and when you withdraw, you're sending a signal. And because you cannot send the same signal twice, you cannot double spend. And because you cannot link deposits to signals. Because you cannot link signals to identities, you cannot link withdrawals from deposits. And it's how the mixer works using semaphore as a base layer. Yeah. So just to give a quick demonstration, like just now, it's gonna download the leaves of the worker key, generate the worker proof, submit that proof to a relayer, which sends a transaction and pays a guess on the user's behalf, and the user gets back the key. So it's like the same design for different applications.
Awesome. So I guess my question is like, were there any challenges or is it?
Right. Challenges are. Oh my god. there's a ton of challenges because. I guess the first thing is like just wrapping your head around all the different types of nullifiers and different types of cryptographic primitives that I use. Like you can't even use like SHA-256 hash, even though it's fast on traditional computers. That's super slow in stacks. And getting to that understanding of like the fact that there are different hash functions that perform differently is itself like one of the hurdles that people have to get through to understand this whole thing, because within Snarks the math is kind of different. So that's one of the abstractions that we want to help people not have to worry about when they use lib semaphore. Yeah. Let me show you lib semaphore. I'm still working on documentation and guides, but it's on NPM. So all these functions should help developers to use this system. I would have like 7 minutes to go. Maybe I'll take like two more questions.
I will ask a board
question if no one
has a
question. Have you thought about people like sell out DAO and people buying new votes and
so, wow.
Like, you know, Patricio is running around telling everyone to vote for Buenos Aires. Prove it. So, you know, the ability to only so maybe in your double spend example for MicroMix it might be interesting to like you can only spend once. But in voting, it might be interesting to spend multiple times, so.
Right. So I'm not super sure, but if you look at another application that's been built, it's got minimum, hang on. Yeah, this is like a separate project where you also use CKSnarks to prevent collusion in DAOs. So I think the idea behind this is that using a CKSnark, you can make it pointless to buy a vote because someone could vote again and make your fourth vote like now and then. But it's like, I don't think it's doable with semaphore. I think this is using like a completely different circuit. But it's using similar ideas and similar concepts. Yeah.
Did you see Phil Diane's talk?
No. I got told to someone linked it to him. Yeah.
His research is basically how can you prove that you can like vote twice kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You should look at that.
This is a very similar work, this anti
collusion stuff. Yeah. There's a bunch of people trying to do this, obviously.
Awesome, thank you for your talk.
Yeah, thank you so much.